to the Gospel of John, please. I see you've got the platform fixed from last time I was here. It was kind of a dangerous little step up that you didn't want to back up too far, you'd fall off. Actually, I think I did step off it, but that's all right. Nice to be here. Thank you very much for the invite. Just a few thoughts that I've been enjoying. John chapter 20. And there will be lots of room. We can possibly get two more in since it's going till 8:30. Let's read a few words about Mary. John chapter 20, verse number 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And then there's a number of things he says to her. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, notice this, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now we're going to read another little section in a minute, but comes to a conference, I think everyone would come with a desire to hear from their Lord. And that's the little thing that I enjoy about this little story about Mary. I can just imagine a woman being in a cemetery. I'm not being kind of rude there, because if I was in a cemetery, I'd be afraid. I got a yellow streak down my back, just like everyone else. And here's this woman, I can just imagine her heart full of fear. And she doesn't know where her Lord is, and she's just perplexed, trying to understand all the situations of life. What made the difference? Just one word from the Lord, Mary. Didn't take much, did it? It's kind of encouraging how that just one little word from the Lord Jesus completely changed her whole outlook. Now, that's the purpose of a conference. I hope you didn't come to hear Scott McLeod, because I can't have this effect upon you. I hope you didn't come to hear Dave Richards. Oh, I like hearing him. He can't have this effect upon you. And Sean Sinclair, nice brother. But we can only do so much. We could whip you up into an emotional frothy, and maybe it'll last till Monday at dinner time. But what we want is for your Lord. Would you like to hear from him? I guarantee you, he wants to speak to you. He does. You remember the first time you heard his voice? Yeah, you were in your sins, weren't you? And you heard from him. And you discovered he died for you. What a change, eh? Just changed everything in just a split second. I remember it. April the 4th, 1990. So full of anxiety and just how am I ever going to come to the point where I'm able to say with absolute peace, I'm saved on the road to heaven. Very simple verse. Christ died for the ungodly. Boom. Done. Forgot all about my sin. The weight, the burden, gone. Why? Just a simple word from the Lord. Wouldn't that be great now? It'd be a tremendous conference if just one person just heard from their Savior. Well, thank God for this woman. What an amazing thing. You know, I just linked the word with this person. We trust that there'll be some ministry this weekend just about his person. Dear child of God, he's the magnet. That is the older I get, we can get all taken up with, are we doing this right and doing that right and everything else. And those words, they have their place. But if we get away from just the person of Christ, all his glory, all his everything to do with him, that is what will encourage you and I. I trust that it's not just conferences where we hear from his person. I want to encourage every single person here tonight. I hope, I pray, that we all have got a daily, systematic reading of the Word of God. That is our number one problem. Because life is busy, isn't it? Don't allow anything of life to interfere in that private time, just you and your Lord. It's the foundation of everything that we do for him. So how delightful, how encouraging, Mary simply heard his word. Fear was removed, all to do with his person. Come down a little bit further now. We are introduced to another man, another individual here, a man, verse 24, Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, if you did a little research on Didymus. Didymus, it means twin. If you can't see yourself in this man, I can. You're going to discover that Thomas, his heart was full of unbelief. You ever get there as a Christian? You just start to wonder sometime. With so much opposition in the world and from just everything is against God and against the Word of God and everything is against you and I living for God. Well, let's see what happened with Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except, now notice how strong he is, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's strong. Verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. I don't believe Thomas ever did it. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know, I love the words of Acts chapter 1, referring to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus when he appeared to his disciples. And here's what you read, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. That's what Thomas saw. The evidence of his passion. You know, you and I, we need to be daily reminded of his love for us. Isn't that wonderful to think, dear child of God? There's a man in heaven right at this moment on the right hand of his Father. And he loves you. And he loves me. I find that amazing. There's a lot of people that some like me, some don't. You know, you just stand for truth in a certain way and they don't like you. Okay. But here's one thing I can always be guaranteed of. My Savior loves me. Isn't it nice just to be reminded of that? And in spite of the unbelief, I find, you know, the Lord didn't come and criticize this man. You know, this warmed him. Now, notice the difference. He said to him, he says, you can take your finger and you can put it into the print. You're only going to read this in John twice in the Bible. The print of the nails. The print of the nails. He said, you can put your finger into my hand. But then he says, take your hand and thrust it into my side. Boy, that's quite an opening, isn't it? Now, I'm a firm believer that the Lord Jesus still has those marks in heaven. he can actually hold out his hand and he can look at the hole from the nail. He can look at his side and he can see the hole from the spear. That's how much he loved us. That's amazing. So there's Thomas. What just changed his whole heart of unbelief? Just a fresh look at the wounds. There it is, wounds. I don't like that word, wounds. It implies blood, it implies healing. Let's go with print marks, okay? Not scars, because that's healing as well. We got to stick to the Word of God. So wouldn't that be a lovely thing if just as a result, these things that are just sort of common routine to us, you ever get in a rut? Come to meeting, go to meeting, read about the Lord Jesus. You ever just stop and meditate upon it? As if it was all fresh to you. That's what the Lord wants. And not a wonder from his heart, just what worship, my Lord and my God. Everybody says, oh yeah, we acknowledge him as Lord and God. Listen, you know what my Savior is after from me? He wants reality. Freshness. Sure, I can pray a ditty. I can stand up. I can do it in the morning. Professionalism, right? I got a wicked heart. I can just go over this little ditty that just appeases my conscience and makes me feel like, okay, you're a Christian living right. He is worth giving him freshness. Find something about him in this book that just causes you to lift up your little heart. My Lord and my God. One more. Come over to chapter 21. Peter, we always like Peter. He's so much like us. Peter, of course, is discouraged. Verse number 3, Simon Peter said unto him, I go a-fishing. And then we know that he ends up taking a number with him, which is often the case. We have a tremendous, I think we have more of an impression on others than we realize, effect. Verse number 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, that's a lovely word, very tender word. It's what's known as the diminutive, kind of equivalent to our nicknames. Have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 2,000 cubits, about 350 feet, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. You know what I love about Peter? Peter is a man whose heart is full of failure. You ever been there? And that old wicked heart uses that failure, and you know what it says to you? God's not going to use you anymore. You're done. May as well just hang it up. You're done. And I thought, how kind of the Lord to use Peter to bring in 153 fish. Do you know what I think arose in his heart for the first time? I can be used again. Anyone here, you feel you're at the bottom of the well, flat on the ground? We believe in a God, because the Bible teaches it, a God of restoration. We do. And it wouldn't be the first conference where someone came pretty low and they left encouraged. That's Peter. And there's the little fire. Everybody gets all taken up with 153 fish. What does it mean? Listen, it just simply means I can count. Unbelievable how people go on and take us off into the millennium. And unbelievable. They knew how to count. And the Lord fed them with something that he just produced right there on the spot, the fish and the loaves, again. And there's the fire. And I love the little expression, it did take time, after they had dined. You ever, I pushed back from the table tonight, full and relaxed, satisfied. And then the Lord takes up a special dealing with Peter. I trust that as a result of this weekend, whatever is in our heart, be it fear, be it faithlessness, or be it failure, let's just get our eyes locked on him. Let's hear his word. Just a fresh look at his person, his passion, Peter, his provision. And may we go away encouraged by our Savior.